Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. On Tuesday, June 3rd, next week, New Mexican Republicans and Democrats will hold their primary elections to determine who will appear on the ballot in November's general election. Contested primary races will determine the Republican nominee, who will challenge for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Tom Udall. The Republican and Democratic nominees for New Mexico's U.S. House of Representatives seats, the Democratic nominee for state treasurer, the Republican nominee for attorney general, and the nominees for each contested New Mexico State House of Representatives seat. Perhaps the contest generating the most interest, the contest to face and unseat incumbent Governor Susana Martinez, pits five Democrats against one another. Joining me in studio today to discuss the upcoming primary elections is currently Jim Monteleone, reporter for the Albuquerque Journal, and hopefully soon we will have Steve Terrell, Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter. But so far, you, Jim, good morning. Good
morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here today. Now, you cover politics for the Albuquerque Journal, so no doubt you have seen or at least heard of the governor's ad that's running, morphing the five candidates into Bill Richardson's face. Is this an unusual level of participation in the opposing party's primary election for an incumbent governor?
I don't know if I could say that it's unusual. It certainly is. I think it's surprising to Democrats to see how active Susana Martinez has been advertising, while a lot of the Democrats haven't had the means to get on the air until late April. I mean, for example, the governor's campaign has been advertising since March, the end of March, you know, really making it clear that she has the means to be active in the dialogue, even though she's running without a primary opponent.
Well, the money is quite skewed in her favor, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, at our last report, I think we're getting a new campaign finance report today. But previously, I mean, she was reporting $4.2 million in the bank, while her closest competitor was reporting less than $500,000 in the bank.
So certainly enough money to be running some television ads in advance of this
Absolutely.
Primary. Well, we also have Steve Terrell with us this morning. Steve, thanks for joining us. I know you came down from Santa Fe, and we appreciate that. And you're with the Santa Fe New Mexican. You've been there for many years. I'm sure many people recognize your name. Now, Steve, as I was preparing for today's program, I looked in vain for a handy voter's guide from the League of Women Voters. A call to the League's office revealed that monetary and time constraints limit publication of that nonpartisan voter's guide to general elections. But now you received a voter's guide via email, did you not?
Probably Jim did too. The Republican Party was nice enough to send out voter's guides. The first one was about Gary King, and then yesterday there's one about Alan Weber. And they basically bring up all their negative points on both these guys.
Well, you know,
I suppose Royale's probably next.
Yeah, well, I'm so curious, because to whom were these emails sent?
Oh, whoever's on the campaign email list. You know, it's not a serious voter's guide for. It's not like every Democrat in the state was getting them or anything.
Okay, so it's sort of an inside joke then,
perhaps? Oh, I wouldn't say joke, but it was
looks like a press release.
Yeah, it was a press release.
Okay, now tell me, Steve, because I just asked Jim this before you got here. So the voter's guide being sent out, the ad on television morphing the five Democrat candidates into Bill Richardson's face, is that an unusual amount of participation in an opposing party's primary election for an incumbent governor?
Unusual? Maybe more than the last time. Well, of course, last time there was no incumbent governor. In fact, not since 2006. I don't remember Bill Richardson doing that. Of course, back then, there's only one Republican candidate for governor. So it's been a while. So I guess it is unusual in that sense, but not unexpected.
Okay. So the existence of the voter's guide, this is a question for either of you. What and who they target, per se, Gary King and Alan Weber, what does their very existence tell you? And Jim, you want to start with that one, please.
Well, I think there's been a lot of speculation that the pool of Democrats wants to seize on being the target of attacks as the sign that Republicans think that that candidate is the most threatening.
Yeah, their badge of honor.
And you'll hear that from each Democrat when they get some kind of attack. They say, "Here's proof that I'm the one that Susana Martinez is most afraid to face in November." I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think what we're seeing is basically just a kind of a wholesale, across the board, leave no attack unturned.
Yeah, I was talking to Chris Sanchez, who's the campaign spokesman for Martinez, and he said, "No, we're an equal opportunity attacker," and that's true. And whoever, you know, I fully expect on the day after the primary to start seeing ads about a specific Democrat coming from the Martinez camp. I think they're prepared for any of them. They've done their opposition research, and they found strange newspaper columns by Alan Weber from years and years ago, and that sort of thing. Votes that Senator Morales has taken, and all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, so. And you did send me the emails that you received, and I thank you for that. The voters' guides, and there was some old information, for instance, about Alan Weber, something from Oregon, from the 90s, even. So no stone unturned, I guess is what we're going to see. We're talking today about the upcoming New Mexico primary elections on June 3rd. I'm joined by Steve Terrell, Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter, and Jim Monteleone, reporter for the Albuquerque Journal. If you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call and Show webpage at kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. I suspect we will get a lot of people wanting to participate today. We've got some early callers. Let's go ahead and bring in our first caller. It's Mike from Albuquerque. Good morning, Mike.
Wow, that was early. I guess I did get in the first caller. I'm curious about the effect of having five candidates. I went to the state central the pre-primary convention, and clearly one or two of the candidates is not going to go anywhere. I'm thinking of Linda Lopez. And I'm just curious especially Steve, I'm sorry, but the Journal is essentially, I see, part of the Martinez administration. Mm-hmm. But Steve Terrell from the Santa Fe paper, I'm curious what he thinks of how this is affecting things, because it's making it very hard for any one candidate to get a step out ahead.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call this morning. And Steve, you want to go ahead and address that?
That's a good point. With five candidates, somebody can win with a very low percentage. Like the Journal's recent poll showed that Gary King was a 22%, and he was ahead, except for undecided, which was a big winner. But 22%, and he was 6 points ahead of Weber and Rael. And what that shows is just a shift of a few percentage points can really skew the thing. I wouldn't count out most of them.
Well, let's step back a second. So, who can vote in the primaries? You're going to get a chance to say a little something about Mike's comment in a minute, but who can vote in these primaries?
In New Mexico, primaries are open only to registered Democrats and registered Republicans.
Okay.
So anyone who has declined a state, so-called independent or a minor party candidate, is just not welcome to participate.
Now, does any one particular candidate have to reach a certain percentage of votes in order to move forward? There's no runoff or – okay. All right. So just to get that little bit out. And now, Jim, would you like to say something? Because Mike did basically say that he felt the Journal was part of the Martinez administration. You are welcome to say something or not comment, whatever you prefer.
I think that it's really easy for Democrats to look at things maybe on the editorial page and assume that the news coverage is in the tank for the governor's office, so to speak. But if you read the news pages, you'll see that we've been critical of her in the same way we've been critical of Democratic candidates. We are, we try to play it as fair as we can, because that's the only way we know it on the news side of.
And in fairness to Jim, I get attacked for being part of the liberal Santa Fe New Mexican for the same reasons. So.
All right. Well, let's stay with the Democratic primary for governor a bit. Let's talk about that, because that is the race that probably generates the most interest. And we will move on to other things later on. But there are five Democratic primary candidates, and by all accounts, they have remained congenial with one another. If you watch some of the debates, and we have a link to one from KRWG on our website, let's take each candidate in turn briefly. How has each one distinguished or attempted to distinguish him or herself among the five? And let's get each of you. So Gary King. Steve, and I'm just going in alphabetical order in terms of candidates. How has he attempted to distinguish himself?
Well, he's held a state office now for, 7.5 years. So he's really stressed what he's done as attorney general and saying he'd take that on to the governor's office. He's also the son of a former governor, Bruce King,
and very popular one,
and a very popular first lady, Alice King, the late Alice King, and he mentions them at every turn. Someone from another campaign jokingly suggested a drinking game during a forum whenever Gary King mentioned Bruce or Alice, you have to take a drink. But I don't drink, so I stayed sober through the whole thing.
Well, all right. So, how has Gary King distinguished himself, or attempted to distinguish himself, Jim?
He makes the point that he's the only candidate that's won a statewide race twice. He notes that he beat a Republican challenger in 2010 that, you know, he says was recruited by the Republican Party, by Susana Martinez. I don't know if that's entirely accurate. He makes himself as being a Democrat that's been able to woo Democrats across, well, actually, you know, general election voters across state, and therefore he's the one that can he can do it again.
Okay, and now Linda Lopez, let's stay with you, state senator. How has she distinguished herself, or attempted to distinguish herself?
Linda Lopez has distinguished her candidacy as being an experienced state senator, and she also emphasizes her background as a Hispanic woman. She believes that being a Hispanic woman Democrat neutralizes any advantage that the governor might have as the first Hispanic female governor. There was a sense that the governor was able to win some support from Hispanic women Democrats in 2010, and I think that she really hopes that her candidacy alone can balance that a little bit.
Well, and I think I read she said she won't be afraid to take the gloves off and really come out because she won't be accused of being sexist or racist or anything else. So, Steve, how has she distinguished herself?
Well, Jim is completely right. She's really emphasized the Hispanic woman aspect. She is the only woman in the race, too. She said this Hispana is not afraid to take on that Hispana. And also during the last session, she held hearings on a controversy that I don't know if it's really caught fire among primary voters or not, but about the controversy surrounding the State Fair Racino contract. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the administration was able to say, well, this is just her as a governor candidate, doing this for political reasons. But she did have these hearings, maybe a couple of years too late. But
all right, Howie Morales, let's talk about him briefly. How has he distinguished himself? Steve Terrell first.
First of all, he's the youngest candidate. He's
41.
41, yeah. And he's the only one with a PhD. He's really emphasized education, which the governor's also emphasizing in her campaign. He's a former teacher, and he's... So that's where he's really and what helped him win at the pre-primary convention, he had the support of the American Federation of Teachers, and that really they provided an enthusiastic crowd there for him and lots of delegate votes.
And Jim, anything you want to add about Howie Morales?
I think that he is
a state senator, right?
Also current a state senator, yeah. And he really has relied heavily on education and education issues. And I think that if among teachers, I mean, with thanks to that AFT endorsement, he's got a lot of traction with teachers. That being said, if a couple other teachers groups have have endorsed multiple candidates. He hasn't been identified by teachers groups as the exclusive candidate of teachers, but that's certainly the way that he's positioned his campaign as targeting education issues and some of complaints about the governor's education programs as his kind of focal point.
And now we're on our fourth candidate, Lawrence Royale. How has he distinguished himself?
Lawrence Royale has shown himself to be the candidate with the kind of behind the scenes experience, the experience getting things done as he's a longtime administrator. I mean, he worked for the city of Albuquerque for many years. He worked for the Mid-Region Council of Governments, working with the Rail Runner. He's done a lot of that administrative work, and he says that's proof that he can kind of get the boots on the ground and get things done.
Anything you want to add about Lawrence Ryan?
He's also emphasized his biography. He was raised with a single mother. His dad died in a auto accident, DWI accident. He was hit by a drunk driver when Lawrence was just a kid, and his mom was from Mexico, and she was always looking over her shoulder, you know, afraid of being deported. He grew up, you know, with that. That fear, those shadows. So that's one thing he's emphasized also.
Okay, and our final candidate, Steve Allen Weber, how has he distinguished himself?
He's actually not from the political world. He's from the business world. He was a magazine publisher. He has had some political experience working for the mayor of Portland and then the Department of Transportation, federal, and he was a speech writer for Michael Dukakis. And So, most of his experience and what he's been emphasizing is business experience. He was the co-publisher and co-creator of the Fast Company, very successful business magazine. And so he's really emphasized that and the importance of he can't be called an anti-business, even though he's some say he's the furthest left of all the candidates. He can't be characterized as anti-business because, it's, you know, business has been his life. So that's his main emphasis on his part.
Jim, anything you want to add about Allen Weber?
Allen Weber tells voters that he's going to approach some of the state's problems and issues differently. You know, approached from this kind of different perspective of an entrepreneur rather than a traditional politician. He's brought some different perspective, and I think he's using that as a tool to distinguish himself from a pool of candidates that have otherwise been active in New Mexico politics for many years.
We're talking today about the upcoming New Mexico primary elections on June 3rd. I'm joined by Steve Terrell, Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter, and Jim Noantaleone, reporter for the Albuquerque Journal. If you would like to join in our discussion, you may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. Tell us, will you be voting in the upcoming Democratic primary for governor? And how have you been able to distinguish between the five candidates? We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more discussion with our guests and your calls when we return.
Support for KUNM provided by New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, a not-for-profit financial cooperative with member benefits for checking, credit cards, auto loans, and mortgages. Details on member benefits at nmefcu.org. KUNM's Gift of Community auction closes this Thursday, May 29th. This is your last chance to browse more than 260 items and stock up on summer entertainment and programs, as well as lovely gifts for others and useful items for yourself. Click through to the Gift of Community auction from KUNM.org. You can put your favorites on a watch list and register your highest bid in case you don't have online access just prior to 9 p.m. on Thursday when the auction closes.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. And today we're talking about New Mexico's upcoming primary elections on this coming Tuesday, June 3rd. We'd like to bring in another caller now. It's Glenn from Jemez Springs. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you all?
Well,
I've heard that here in Sandoval County, some of our Pueblo political leaders are getting behind Lawrence Royale. I'm wondering if somebody can explain why independents cannot be part of this. That seems to be unfair. And then finally, I guess I would challenge some investigative reporter to dig and find out how much Koch brother and Karl Rove and like money is getting behind our governor in this upcoming election. Thanks.
All right. Let's see if we can take some of those questions in turn. Steve, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, there is. I've published the figure of the Koch brother money for Governor Martinez. Is it 10, 15?
It's just over 20.
It's over 20 now. Yeah, there's a little more in the last report.
It's worth noting that just over 20,000 since the governor's 2010 election is what's reported directly from either the Koch brothers industries or the Koch PAC. I mean, that group has been known to move money in a lots in many different ways, some which aren't necessarily which don't identify the donors through, you know, IRS rules for certain kinds of political groups. But as far as money that we can track that has to be identified, we've been able to identify just over $20,000 given to the governor from the Koch brothers.
And I haven't seen any money from the Karl Rove's Crossroads. Does he get involved in state races? I think he mainly does congressional and presidential races.
Are the Koch brothers the governor's largest contributor?
No.
Okay.
No.
So has any one of the Democratic candidates, any one of the five, received donations of that magnitude?
Oh, $5,000 or $10,000?
Well,
sure,
or $20,000.
Yeah. $20,000. I think maybe Weber has maybe not 20,000.
No.
I think he's got
the campaign 10, finance. Yeah. Current campaign finance laws cap at 5,200 per election. So that's 5,200 for the primary, 5,200 for the general. The governor's been able to receive 20,000 in part because during 2010, some of those campaign finance rules didn't apply the same way, and she's been in multiple elections.
Now, part of Glenn's comment when he called also had to deal with the participation of independents here in the state. So let's, in preparation, as we move into that discussion, let's look at a few numbers. So the number of registered voters in New Mexico, it's nearly 1.3 million. Close to a million of those are Democrats and Republicans. There are almost 250,000 independents or voters unaffiliated with a political party. So that means that roughly one-fifth of all registered voters in New Mexico are not affiliated with a party. And under New Mexico law, these 247,000 registered voters whose taxes help to pay for parties' primaries will have no say in who will run against Susana Martinez in November. Is New Mexico unusual in this regard in only permitting those who are registered with a party to vote in that party's primary?
Not unusual, but certainly other states do it differently. I remember being quite amazed. I was in Iowa covering the Iowa caucuses back when Richardson was running for president, and I was amazed that you could go in that day, decide whether you're a Democrat or Republican, and then go caucus with whatever one you wanted to.
Well, why did that amaze you?
Because, you know, I'm from New Mexico, and I've been here all my voting life, and I am a declined state. I'm with all the other independents, and I feel like, you know, hey, we have to pay for a party we're not invited to. So that's I really think that should be changed. But, Andy Nunez, who was an independent at the time, he was a representative. He's now running as a Republican down south. He introduced a proposed constitutional amendment to change that. And the Democrats and the Republicans on the first committee he went to held hands and joined together in bipartisan harmony and voted him down unanimously.
Well, and that was a question I wanted to ask. First of all, there was a movement, and there is still a movement, but I remember it being stronger at least last year or a few years ago to get this law changed. How would we change that? It would take a constitutional amendment, Jim?
I think it could happen a couple different ways. A constitutional amendment. I don't see maybe just statutory. A statutory
change.
Yeah, I think
it could change. Yeah, I think it could.
That being said, I believe it also can be changed simply by party bylaws. I think there was a nonprofit group last year that was really pushing the parties to be proactive and be the first party to open their primary to basically vote as a primary or vote as a party to open their primary to independent voters, and they represent that to be a great advantage for the first party to do it because. By engaging all of those, I mean, 22% of all voters are independent or minor party voters. By engaging them in the primary process early, you're getting them affiliated attached to a candidate months earlier than they otherwise would. And likely that's going to carry over all the way in the general election. I mean, it's there's an advantage to getting independent voters active early.
Well, there was an article by Barry Massey of the Associated Press, and I believe it ran in the Santa Fe New Mexican. It's where I gathered a lot of these numbers. And I think he mentioned 15% is what the expectation is, perhaps, of the number of Democrats who will vote in the primary
election. Yeah, it's
election.
Very low. I don't know if that's the right percentage, but it's very low.
It is very low. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Sarah from Albuquerque. Good morning, Sarah.
Yes, good morning. Are you with me?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Good morning, Sarah.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure that was on. Thank you for this very informative show. This is very interesting. Anyways, I did a vote already last week by mail ballot. I already mailed it in, and I wanted our listeners to know that it's available for the primary and the general election. You just need an application from the county clerk, and once they have it back in writing, you'll get your mail ballot mailed to you like 4 weeks before the election. And also, I wanted to bring up this problem of a constant changing of voting sites. For example, there was one in the Siesta Hill area. Now it has been moved to San Pedro. And this is constantly going on. And to me, this is voter sabotage, voter suppression, to confuse all our voters and make it confuse. So unless we're really paying attention, and here I am making announcements to be aware, they'll even change locations on the election day. And then our early voting sites for the primaries will be different from the general election. And so, I mean, to me, I feel that this was done deliberately to suppress the vote.
All right, well, let's go ahead, and thank you so much for your call this morning, Sarah. Let's get, Jim, you want to talk about polling locations first, please?
Well, I suppose there's a couple of problems with that, in that, for one, Bernalillo County, for example, offers 19 locations to vote. Many of them are the same as they were in 2012. To demand they be the exact same places, I mean, these places are open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday or Monday through Saturday for 2 weeks before the election. It's not like a polling place where you can go to school on one day, a traditional precinct. So if they have to be exactly the same, I mean, we're talking about requiring the county clerks to take out multiple year leases on these business locations in order to guarantee that they're the exact same place in 2 weeks. You know, for that 2 weeks every 2 years. To begin with, that's a little bit implausible. Next, I'd say that I think that the county clerks have done a good job of making public early where these locations are going to be. There's lots of maps available. There's lots of online resources to say where you can vote, what the wait times are going to be like, what the options are. And if you look around in Bernalillo County, as an example, there are so many options that it would only take a few minutes to find one near you.
All right. Steve, you want to comment at all?
No, I think that's right. But, I understand the caller's concern. I know there's confusion, like in for the city council elections, and I'm talking about Santa Fe here, but sometimes the precincts do – or the voting places do change. So that can be frustrating. I know my paper always prints the polling place, and so does the Journal. But, you do have to be aware. That's the thing.
And I think each of your papers has available online information about currently even about polling. And just to let people know, you can apply for an absentee ballot up until May 30th. You also can go in and vote early until the 31st of May. So there are certainly options that can happen there. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Tom from Albuquerque. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Tom. Are you with us? Hello, Tom. All right. Tom is no longer with us, at least not at the moment. Let's go back to your papers for a second, because each of your papers endorsed a different candidate for governor. Steve, you're...
Which neither of us had anything to
do with. No, I know. But Steve Allen Weber by the Santa Fe New Mexican and Gary King, in fact, by the Albuquerque Journal. So, what is the effect of endorsements. Have either of you either like sat down and really thought about that, or tried to track or ask people in the community? Steve, go right ahead, please.
Oh, it's probably good for a few hundred votes, I would say. And if somebody gets endorsed by all the papers, that's probably more powerful than when it's split up. I know our sister paper up in Taos endorsed Howie Morales. I'm not sure if it'll have a major effect. It's probably better to get the endorsement than to not get the endorsement. But I'm not sure if it'll be a deciding factor.
And Jim, you want to comment on that?
I think that, I've heard pundits say that in low information races, it counts for potentially a few points. I think it's probably fair to say that this governor's primary is going to be what we think of as a low information race. I don't think it's going to make a real major difference for any of these candidates.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's John from Albuquerque. Good morning, John.
Yes, I take it I'm the John in question.
Yes, John. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Yeah, I want to say something about this whole notion that it's unfair to not allow the independents to vote in the primaries. I know what happens in other states where they do allow independent, non-aligned voters to vote in the primaries, and it can get really, really ugly. You get a whole lot of cases where, for example, in South Carolina, where the Republicans have a large margin, they managed to sabotage the Democratic primary to put down a senatorial candidate who had some chance of not necessarily winning, but at least making a good stand. And they put up some black guy from some little town with a criminal record and no political experience. He was the Democratic nominee. And it all happened from people who were in sympathy with the Republicans voting in the Democratic primary. As soon as you allow that, you're basically allowing people to sabotage the point of view that is exactly opposite to theirs. I don't want to see that happen in New Mexico.
All right, let's go ahead and get some comment. John, thanks so much for your call. Steve, you were nodding your head during part of that call.
Well, yeah, they did in South Carolina nominate a very weak Democrat from seemingly out of nowhere. The thing is, that can play both sides. The Democrats can do that to the Republicans, and the Republicans can do it to the Democrats. I think if it was actually allowed, I think you'd probably see less of that.
In the states that do it, you're only entitled to vote in one primary. So you'd be giving up one vote in order to make another vote.
Yeah, I just don't see massive numbers of especially in a race where the Republicans only have one candidate or the Democrats only have one candidate, that might tend to happen more. But, in races where both sides are contested, I don't see it happening much at all. And I don't see that being that big of a factor. And it would make candidates basically have to get their support out. They'd have to work a little harder.
We're talking today. Oh, Jim, you wanted to go ahead? Go ahead, Jim.
Just real briefly on that point. That's not exactly it, because what we're talking about is allowing independent and minor party candidates to participate in primaries. Some states do, in fact, have open primaries. A Republican can come in and say they want to vote Democrat. Mm. I think a lot of the push in New Mexico is to allow independents to participate.
Right, right.
So not a Republican to change on that day.
So not
day
a Republican
and say
to
no
change, just someone who's a declined to stay to be able to pick whether they want to be a Republican or a Democrat on that day.
All right. We have a couple of correcting emails that have come in. The first from Donna Gale and another listener, that there are actually two candidates, Democratic candidates for governor with PhDs, Gary King has a doctorate in organic chemistry. So just a little fact checking. And also an email comment from Katie Stone, I believe. We can't know how much the Koch brothers have given to Governor Martinez. They give to PACs, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that that does not need to report it. So just a couple of clarifications there. We're talking today about New Mexico's June 3rd primary elections. I'm joined by Jim Monteleone, reporter for the Albuquerque Journal, and Steve Terrell, Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter. If you would like to join in our discussion, you may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Our last caller, John, mentioned that he doesn't understand why independents can't vote in the primaries. Are you an independent voter who wishes you could vote in one of the state's upcoming primary elections? If you cannot, how are you participating in, if at all, in these primary elections, through discussions or otherwise? We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with you in a minute.
The South Broadway Cultural Center presents Barrio Blues on Saturday, June 7th, with homegrown blues featuring the Rudy Boy Experiment. The Rudy Boy Experiment are Southwest rock and blues innovators from the land of enchantment. This three-piece group features the multi-talented guitarist, singer, and songwriter Rudy Boy Jaramillo. For complete details, call 311 or visit cabq.gov. A message from the tax-exempt South Broadway Cultural Center.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, our co-founder Suzanne Kreider comes to terms with her own sudden disability.
And so I stood up and I could not walk. And I just said, oh no, this cannot be happening. No, I cannot be having a stroke.
Suzanne's own experience and conversation with others, making peace with a disability, next time on Peace Talks Radio.
Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about New Mexico's June 3rd primary elections. I'm joined by Steve Terrell, Santa Fe, New Mexican reporter, and Jim Monteleone, reporter for the Albuquerque Journal. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Bill from Los Lunas. Good morning, Bill.
Yes, good morning. Rael, or Riel, when he ran his run as chief administrator for the city of Albuquerque, the police department, the fire department, the teachers union, the blue-collar workers all had to go on strike when he was chief administrator. So we will never forget that as union members. Gary King seems like a little dino, Democrat in name only. He always blue-dogging. Morales, I don't know much about Morales. I'll check him out this weekend before I vote Tuesday. Linda Lopez, state representative, but very quiet state representative. She has an edge because she's a Hispanic woman against Martinez. And Weber, he interests me a lot, but he's another transplant. And we have enough transplants in the state of New Mexico that are in high-level positions. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thanks so much for voicing your opinions. Anyone, Jim, you want to respond a little bit to? First of all, let's make a correction. So Linda Lopez is actually a state senator.
State senator.
Okay.
Yep. Well, for one, I've never heard the Democrats in name only care. I know we hear that often with Republicans in name only rhinos. That's the first time I've heard it for Democrats. With regard to Democratic, kind of mainstream Democratic issues, these candidates are all pretty much on the same page. When you listen to them debate in forums, they go down the line on almost every issue. They're in the same vicinity.
Well, and that's when I was talking with both of you about how they distinguished themselves amongst each other. We didn't talk about policy, so that's accurate.
I mean, largely. I mean,
the only issue I can really think of where they have differed is on the legalization of marijuana. Gary King's against it, as you might expect an attorney general to be. And Lawrence Rael says he wants it. He'll go along with it if it's approved by state referendum, but or constitutional amendment, I guess it would be. But he wants the people to decide. Mm-hmm. not him. So that's one of the few that there's been any significant policy differences on.
It sounds like people are still trying to learn about the candidates. Is that accurate, Jim?
Absolutely. You know, when I talk to voters, I get the sense that there's not a lot of interest. There's not a lot of understanding who these candidates are. Some of them, we've only seen two of them have been on TV since the end of April. So for 28 days or so, Gary King got on TV the end of last week. Two other candidates haven't been on TV. A lot of these candidates still haven't been introduced to kind of mainstream voters.
Well, there have been forums. Has there been a lack of attendance at the forums? Or
well, the one that that's when I saw you at the last one I was at. That was there's a couple of hundred people here in Albuquerque. So it hadn't really been lack of attendance. You know, the ones I've been to have been fairly well attended, but mainly by the party faithful and by supporters of the various candidates. Most people in real life, we're all political junkies here, but most people in real life don't think about it that much until a couple of weeks before the election. I know I've been getting emails from people and messages on Facebook, people I know, people I don't know, saying, who should I vote for? Being an objective reporter, I can't say, well, you should vote for this guy, or this woman. We just don't do that. But I think I've gotten that more this year than in previous years. So I think there is kind of a people wondering who all the candidates are at this point.
Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller and let him add to our discussion. It's Clifton from Albuquerque. Good morning, Clifton. Clifton, are you with us? All right. Clifton. Nope, Clifton is not with us. So let's go ahead. We're going to step back from the governor's race for a minute here, although that is certainly the one generating the most interest, and I'm sure the callers will bring us back there. But while we have a moment, first of all, Lieutenant Governor, last time maybe we can talk about this in 30 seconds. Last time there were five candidates for the Democratic nomination for Lieutenant Governor. How many now?
One.
there
were two. The other lady didn't get enough petition signatures.
Okay, so a big change there. We've got the state treasurer's race has become sort of contentious. Jim, why? Why a contentiousness there?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to see that the governor's race has not been contentious in any way. I mean, they have not said a critical word about one another. While the treasurer's race, a very low information race, has been borderline nasty to the point that the state Democratic Party chair yesterday sent an email basically saying, calling the attacks kind of despicable and desperate, and telling voters to try and ignore that kind of campaign rhetoric. It's surprising how that one has been so feisty, while others, many perceive the governor's race to be a higher priority for Democrats, more kind of a higher profile, and just doesn't happen in any way there.
I think maybe the party kind of made it clear to all the gubernatorial candidates, look, don't be attacking each other too badly. Don't go fierce on the other guys because, we want a nice unified party to try to beat Susana Martinez in the fall. And so I think they've all – I wrote about it in the last forum I covered. There was an opportunity for the other Democrats to attack Gary King, and he was criticizing the governor for her handling of the behavioral health crisis last year, and he was criticizing her. But they could have come back and said, "Hey, look, you went along with most of you said you'd do it different, but you went along with most of the governor's actions here, and your investigation has taken excruciatingly long, and it's really hurt a lot of these." Homegrown providers here, but they didn't.
Is that because there's a risk in attacking, and then if you're the only one who attacks, are you the attacker?
I think a lot of them don't want to be the mean guy who comes out and clobbers one of the other candidates at one of these love fests they've been having. So,
all right, let's go ahead and bring in our we do have Clifton on now, so let's go ahead and bring Clifton in. Good morning, Clifton.
Good morning. Sorry about the cellular difficulty there. Hey, I just appreciate the show, and I had a principal question.
A lot of folks talk about how the Democratic voters don't participate as much. And so I wanted to ask your panel if this five-way contest is likely to get a little bit more buy-in from the Democrats, because my concern is that ultimately, no matter who the candidate is, if the Democratic voters don't get out there and support their candidate, we'll have another term of Governor Martinez.
All right, let's let our reporters here take that call. Thanks so much for calling this morning, Clifton. Steve?
Yeah, I think you're right. There will be more people participating in the Democratic primary just because there's more Democrats. And there is a higher profile race here in the governor's primary that's seen as more of a contest than the Republican Senate primary, for instance. You're right. If they don't, it could be a very, very low turnout percentage-wise and numbers-wise in both primary. I think a lot of people are just going to, oh, yeah, today was the primary. You know, I think that's going to happen.
Well, you know, in the article that I referenced previously, Barry Massey of the Associated Press, I think one of the things he pointed out that independent voters are there are so many in the 18 to 24 age group. The younger the voter, the more likely to be independent. And I bring that up because we had an email comment from Jim Turr who says, drop the issue of independents voting in primaries. Why would people who are not in a party participate?
Because we pay taxes,
yeah,
Jim.
Well, he says we all pay for elections, even if we don't vote in those elections. But don't you think when we have a high-profile race like governor's race that independents would participate, even if they're not in a party, in order to help choose the nominee, Jim?
They're going to participate in November. So I think that it's fair to say there would likely be some interest in participating in June.
Yeah, I've taken a stance on that. I've already tipped my hand in my opinion this long ago in the columns I've written. I think there's if we pay for it, we should have the right to show up or the right not to show up. So I guess they do give us the right not to show up.
Yeah, absolutely. And many people exercise that right. Let's go ahead and bring in Don from Albuquerque. You'd like to make a comment about the legalization of marijuana. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, I'm affiliated with no party. But I understand Alan Weber is the only candidate for governor that strongly, openly supports legalization of marijuana. And not that I necessarily agree with him on a lot of other issues, but on this, I compliment him for taking a strong stand. And he has a long letter on this in the current issue of the alibi.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Don. Is that your understanding?
I think Morales and Linda Lopez also have taken that stand. Maybe not as strong as Weber. Maybe they haven't published letters like this. But, there are others who also, Lopez and Morales.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Richard from Albuquerque. Our phone lines are crowded, so we thank people for calling. And let's get Richard in our discussion. Thanks so much, Richard.
Yeah, thanks. I saw on the news recently a political science reporter basically saying that Lawrence Rayl is the only one who can beat Susana in the general election by bringing Hispanics home. I'm just wondering if the reporters there could speak to general election electability issues that any of the candidates might have against Susana in the general.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Richard. And Jim, you want to speak to that, please?
I think that each of these candidates have a unique electability and general election electability challenge. Take, for example, Lawrence Rayl. I think that he's referring to a comment that a UNM professor, Gabe Sanchez, made 2 days ago saying that basically Lawrence Rayl is ahead in among the Hispanic candidates, according to the Journal poll. And I think he basically went on to suggest that a Hispanic candidate would have the best chance of challenging Susana Martinez because they can likely win back some of that Hispanic vote that Susana Martinez won in 2010. In 2010, she won almost 40% of the Hispanic vote.
Across the state?
Across the state. That made a big difference in her winning in 2010. By comparison, I think Mitt Romney won less than 25% of the Hispanic vote in New Mexico in 2012. That's a huge difference in how those two candidates fared. So for any Hispanic candidate, that makes a big difference. I think that the professor was referring to Morrell is the most electable in the context of him being ranked best in the journal poll. On the other hand, other candidates have got their own advantages and issues. Ellen Weber, on one hand, he's an outsider. He's not Hispanic. That's a ding against him for some of these same issues. On the other side, he's shown an ability to raise a lot of money outside of the state. So there's ups and downs for really all these candidates.
Wait, Steve, yeah. You want to comment?
All the candidates are going to have a hard time beating Susana Martinez. It's just the financial advantage. I know money isn't elections shouldn't be determined by money, but she has the money to get on TV and bring into every home her message. And I think it's going to be increasingly negative, as this last ad has shown. She has the ability to say, hey, don't vote for this Democrat because X, Y, Z, and right now they don't have the ability to really fight back.
Now, the Democratic Governors Association has mentioned that it's not going to be participating monetarily, yeah, at least, because they don't believe that Susana Martinez can lose. I'm curious, where will this primary election for governor be won or lost in the state? Jim, where do you think?
I think it's going to be won or lost in turnout.
Okay.
Maybe that's a cheap answer.
And sort of I was looking at geographical location, because when I said across the state, Susana Martinez was able to generate support across the state. Is northern New Mexico sort of the place we want to look for?
Well, yeah, if Susana can rack up her Hispanic support like she did in 2010 and win a big chunk of the Hispanic North and Hispanic Albuquerque, that's going to that's really going to help her, and it's really going to be a blow to the Democrats.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller, maybe our last caller of the day. We'll see how much time. Judy from Albuquerque, thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you for my time. To follow up on your current conversation, I wanted to mention that I noticed in one of Alan Weber's statements, he noted that a lot of the money he's raised is actually 70% of it, I think he said, or maybe it was more than that, is raised from grassroots donors here in New Mexico. And I think that is kind of a building grassroots movement in a sense. And I also happen to know that he had the most delegates at the state convention from northern New Mexico and has some support there. So I wouldn't count him out against Martinez in that respect. And I also think he's unique in his skill set with being a progressive Democrat and a successful business leader. He has very creative economic policy for New Mexico in mind. So I wanted to point out some of the differences between him and some of the other candidates.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Judy. And clearly, Judy has been able to distinguish between candidates. Either of you want to comment on just briefly?
On the money point. That the figure that she referred to about the 70% of money coming from in-state, that referred to basically the April to May finance report that had just over $100,000 right, earned. And she said about, so that wasn't exactly it. It's about 50%.
All right. I'm going to close just by asking each of you, what's your expectation for Tuesday in this governor's primary race?
Low turnout. That's all I'll say. I'm notoriously bad at predicting who's going to win and lose.
And Jim, how about you? Do you have any kind of expectation for Tuesday?
Well, I think I'm looking at the expectation of Wednesday. Come Wednesday, I think you're going to see a barrage of activity, because this is going to get, I think the general election is going to start immediately.
Mm. Thanks to our guests, Jim Monteleone of the Albuquerque Journal and Steve Terrell of the Santa Fe New Mexican, for making themselves available to our listeners. Thank you to both of you for being here today. And thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show on KUNM, news and music that connect, from the University of New Mexico.